Welcome to the Hawk Talk podcast on the QU Media Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jake Vitale, and with me today is
Isaiah Fudge
and Ben Drager.
And we're going to be talking about the sports going around Quincy this week. We're going to be talking about women's volleyball and their impressive start to the season at 16-1. We're going to be talking about Quincy football, and we're also going to be looking ahead a little bit to the wintertime of this new era, hopefully, of Quincy basketball.
Yes.
So, first, we're going to start out with the volleyball on a high note. Best team in Quincy right now this fall.
They're legit.
They are legit. I mean, they absolutely whooped on UIS. I was there working that game, and it was pretty dominant the whole time. I mean, UIS had some close sets, but, I mean, really the Hawks were in control the whole time, and that's really how every game has looked.
Could this be the squad?
They might be able to make a pretty decent run into the playoffs, hopefully. And I love going to the games. I feel like they bring a lot of energy. And
they're very live, for sure.
Yeah. I like the music going on in the stadium and all of that is pretty exciting.
Yeah, well, and volleyball is just a very, like, fast-moving game in itself. So even if you don't know what's happening, it's still very, like, action-packed. And it's a good time, for sure.
You can get excited just sitting in the stands easily.
Yeah, I mean, they bring the energy. So
Ben, you worked a game this year yet for them?
I have not.
You got to do it.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. I think I do here in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've only worked one. I wish I would have worked more because they're very easy. But, no, yeah, I mean, especially when they're winning, it's fun to watch when the team's winning.
Yeah, and I mean, 16-1, number 19 in the nation, 5-0 in the GLVC. I mean, everybody's coming in here.
Moving up the ranks. That's week by week they pop up a little bit more as they're winning.
And, yeah, I mean, it's completely not completely. It's a pretty group effort. I mean, everybody contributed in the UIS game. Susanna Baretti actually led in kills versus Emma Winbergen.
Those two are pretty consistent.
Always up at the top.
Yeah.
And Emma winning GLVC Player of the Week multiple times already just to start the season.
If you get an opportunity to watch them, when you work, you'll definitely notice that they're killing those balls.
So we're 5-0 in the GLVC, and next week we're going into Hammond, Indiana for the Midwest Regional Crossover. They're starting that tournament against Tiffin University, the Dragons, who actually just recently upset the number 25 team in the nation.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that.
I mean, Tiffin University, they're 9-7 on the year, so I mean, it's nothing like the Quincy Hawks record and their storied history.
Yeah, so they should just continue on this path they're on.
Yeah, like. I think that number 25 probably just sold the bag, and we're not really about that over here.
Happens to the best of us. Not the Hawks, though.
Not the Hawks. They also play Michigan Tech, and then they continue on Saturday in the Midwest Regional Crossover. And, I mean, volleyball's next little stretch from late October through early November is all GLVC matchups. We get into the heavy part of our GLVC schedule, so we should be going out and supporting the volleyball team and, giving them the support that they totally deserve, as they are a fantastic team so far this year.
Yeah, and those GLVC matchups should definitely get interesting. Should be a fun time.
I love the GLVC matchups. I love the energy whenever it's like a rivalry series. I transferred in, and I really don't know why it's rivalries with some of these teams, but you just feel the energy, and you just want to be a part of it.
It's always fun.
Yeah, I think even playing against these schools in our own respective sports, that when another team plays them, you feel a kind of way because you're like, you've experienced
you know what they.
Yeah, like we've been there, like stuff like that. So
I totally agree.
Yeah.
So what are we looking at? How did football end up doing this week, Ben? I know that they lost, but.
Yeah, how about we shift over to that?
Football had a little bit of a rough one. They played the UND Greyhounds, who are ranked 21st in the country for D2 football.
They're good at a lot of sports.
Yeah. They started out well against them, and they held their own in the first quarter. They were just behind them 14-10. And once you got into the second quarter, it just got a little rough for them. The Greyhounds ended up scoring 33 unanswered and took the win 47-10. And The Hawks went to 3-2 on the season, so they're still above 500, looking all right. So that'll be something to keep an eye on for their postseason.
Yeah, I heard that that matchup there was really, like, if Quincy could pull out some sort of victory there, they would have a shot at the conference title, but now it's looking like they're just playing for a playoff spot.
Yeah. I mean, taking away that loss, though, 3-1, pretty good start to the season.
And it's against a good team. Yeah. So,
I mean, they're ranked, and, I mean, they have that dome that, like, the Rams donated them whenever they practiced in Indianapolis.
What did Bama Georgia say, like, last week? They were talking about how that big loss for Georgia probably exposed some of their weaknesses. Maybe they'll do the same for Quincy. Let them make some adjustments. That'll help them down the line.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Drake Davis, he led the way passing. He had a pretty good day. He was 21 for 29, 189 passing yards and a touchdown in there. But
I just heard that there was really no run game. I mean, Teyon Dollard had his lowest rushing yards on the season, whenever he's normally a force that people – focus on, so that the pass game opens up big plays.
Someone may say a D2 Ashton Gentry. I don't know. I thought I heard that. maybe that was, I don't know.
Whoever told you that, I mean, I'd like to know. I do see a little bit there, you know, in the stance in the backfield.
Yeah, it's definitely a big, like, takeaway, though. If the run game wasn't working, it's probably was pretty hard for them to get stuff going, because that's been their, like, powerhouse this year.
Yeah. Should we get a brown field like Boise State has a brown
field? That would be sick.
That'd be something.
That would be really hot in the summer.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, home field advantage.
That's also true.
It's true. We just need a little bit more electrolytes on our sidelines.
Yeah.
During home games.
We can spin back to that.
We'll out cramp the other team. But yeah. So sounds like the Hawks are going to need to regroup this week. Do you know who they're playing next?
Yeah, they got Truman State coming here this weekend, playing at 1 p.m. Truman is 3-3 on the year, so it's a pretty even matchup looking record-wise. So
could use that. That would be a big win.
That would be a big win.
Just Truman State is going to 4-2 would be huge.
Historically pretty great program. Really? Yeah. And normally up top in the GLVC, you know, they got Schrader from Mizzou on there.
Okay.
He used to be a GLVC player. And do you know what team he's on now? Cody Schrader, Ben? In the NFL? I don't know if he got picked up or not.
Can we do a quick lookup?
We could do that. Cody Schrader, I don't know if he was actually coached by Quincy's head coach now.
I'm seeing a lot of information here. Maybe on the LA Rams.
Yeah, maybe on the Rams.
Yeah, that's... I'm seeing a Niners uniform, though.
He does not. Let's go see good for him. Career stats.
That's a St. Louis native.
Yeah. And, Jason Kilday was the assistant head coach during the years that Cody Schrader was there.
So okay. So he's got ties there, yeah.
We got a little connection there.
That probably hits home for
him.
That's
really all I was getting at.
Yeah.
Is that Jason Kilday, former assistant head coach at Truman State during a very good era of their school's history, is now
Quincy head coach.
Quincy head coach, yep. Because he wanted to be a Hawk, just like somebody else who wanted to be a Hawk, Brad Hoyt from John Wood Community College.
Let's talk about it.
His record at John Wood was 269-156, and the all-time wins leader for John Wood men's basketball.
Yes, he was.
There we go. So
Hawks are excited. Basketball. 8 new faces. We brought in 2 freshmen, 6 transfers.
6 transfers.
Yeah.
I heard that those experience 6 transfers squad. Were almost all guards.
Experienced squad.
A lot of basketball being played by these boys in their careers, coming into QU, and they're all getting in line with Brad Hoyt, who clearly has some experience as being a great coach and leading teams to wins, and that was at the JUCO level, so he's experienced working with people who are transfers or looking to transfer, so he knows what it's like for these guys that
for sure. And that word is that the Hawks were addressing the backcourt needs, so
yeah,
hopefully we found those pieces.
We did a little research here, and Hoyt gave up some scouting reports on some of these guys. What are you talking about addressing the backcourt needs and the perimeter shooting? Who do you think will be those pieces that he's talking about there?
Well, just off the bat, from the first guy they name in the recruiting class, it talks about shooting 40% from three-point range, combo guard. Sounds like he can do a little bit of it all. That will be huge.
As the Hawks are losing like a guy like Zion Richardson, who was a D1 bounce-back transfer, and whenever he had a pretty solid year last year, he is now a grad transfer at Cal State Fullerton, along with a couple other transfers out to different schools across the country. It's really a brand new squad with these transfers looking like huge pillars of the team.
Yeah, and there's definitely, like, we can't forget about the players that are already there. Like, there's solid guys, no doubt. I think hopefully this will round everything off. I mean, just right here, excellent Swiss Army knife. This kid, Willie Wilson, just going out and getting guys that can do a little bit of everything. So that'll be huge.
So we're getting ready to wrap this podcast up and get out of here and get ready to go somewhere to eat. I know at least that's my plans. I'm not sure about you guys.
Boys are getting hungry.
Yeah. So I figured we might as well finish it off, or at least we came up with the idea that we should finish it off with a segment of blind rankings of Quincy food places, with places that are, you know, either Quincy local and Quincy only, and a little bit of the mix of the favorite fast food places around Quincy, because, you know, everybody in Quincy seems to get fast food. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm at McDonald's at any point in the day. There's at least four cars in the drive-thru. It never stops. And I mean, that
people got to eat.
They got people waving traffic at the Canes.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable, man.
Yeah, that's a crazy one.
We're going to have Ben Drager here list off 10 restaurants around Quincy. And Isaiah is not going to be able to know what restaurant is coming up next.
Blind ranking.
He really only knows one of the restaurants on here. So the rest are all blind, and he will have to rank them 1 through 10. And he'll give himself a grade afterwards of what his real ranking would be, maybe what he would switch up. So let's hear him, Ben.
Let me hear him.
All righty. First on the list, we got Chicks on the River.
Chicks on the River. Been here once, had a good meal, actually the birthday meal. So it was really cold. It was in March. So we're going to put Chicks on the River at the 5 spot, just smack dab in the middle.
That's a good strategy. All right, I believe that's good.
All righty. Ready for the next one?
I'm ready.
All right. We got Qdoba.
Qdoba. Okay. Haven't been here in a while. Ever since there was a new open in town. Still solid. I'm going to go with the 7 spot for that one.
Alrighty.
Only because there's just newer and better.
Yeah, there is newer and better.
But always a good option, no doubt.
All right, on that note, let's go to Poncheros.
So there you go. That's the competition. Poncheros. This is a good spot. We're going to put them at the 3 spot.
There you go.
That's reliable, fast, and quality food.
You need. Alrighty, we got Mi Jalapeno.
Mi Jalapeno, okay. Been here once, a really long time ago. It was solid.
You're a go once type of guy.
Am I? I'm starting to find that out. So I've used the 7 spot. I'm gonna go the 6 spot with this one, just out of respect for everything.
Alrighty. How about Wendy's?
Ooh, okay. I'm kind of a Wendy's hater, so that's just me. So we're gonna go with the 8 spot there.
All right,
that's just a personal preference.
The 8 spot.
Yes. Sorry.
Unbelievable.
Next up, we got Kelly's.
Okay, big hater of Kelly's. Gonna have to go with the 9 spot on that one.
Ooh.
Yeah, just brutal there.
Yeah. What did you not like about Kelly's?
I don't know. It just didn't sit right. Just that was a one-time go.
Mr. One Time.
Yes.
Alrighty. How about the Abbey?
Okay, so that's good eats right there. That's good eats.
You better put that one high.
Yeah. In terms of like sit in, that really is there. I use my 3 spot.
Yeah, you got Ponch there.
Okay, that's cool. That's Dude. Cool. I'm gonna go 2.
Alrighty.
It's been a while. Not a one-time go for them. been there more than once.
That automatically puts it.
Yeah, like up there. If I've been there more than once, you know it's legit.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, how about Jersey Mike's? What do you think about that?
I haven't been to the one in Quincy. I love Jersey Mike's, though, so that I forgot about that one.
You got the 1, 4, and 10 slots open right now.
Ooh, someone's going to get put in that 10 spot that shouldn't be there. I can already feel it. I can feel it.
Yeah, this might not be the best strat.
Wendy should have been at 10. But we're gonna go with Jersey Mike's at 4. It might need to be higher now looking at it, but that's a great sandwich place.
What you think about
the best in Quincy?
Yeah.
Easy right now.
Yeah.
What you think about 8 Open?
Ooh, okay, that's a surprise. That's a surprise on the list. That is good food, good proportions for your price. I'm going one.
And they support QU Baseball.
And they support QU Baseball. Go QU Baseball.
And your final restaurant?
Hold on. Their hours are so weird, though. I can never figure them out.
That's
the only knock I have on them.
Literally the only knock.
What's the 10 spot?
What's with chicken places and weird hours?
I don't know. It's probably with the chickens. What's up with the chickens?
The chickens need rest.
They need rest.
All right. The last one for you is Cane's.
Oh, Cane's is getting put in the 10. See, okay. That was a see big. Ya. That's a big see ya. Yeah. That's a big uh-oh. But yeah, I messed up on that one, but it's okay.
Oh, man.
Actually, you know what? Let's just own it. Cane's line too long. Fix that. Always traffic there. 10 spot.
Dude.
Boom, Thea.
I've had pretty good experiences at this Cane's, to be honest.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
They don't
mess around. Chicken.
No, they don't.
They don't have small chickens.
That's true.
8 Open does not have small chickens either. No. Where are they getting those things?
Dude, that's like the whole chicken. If you have not had 8 Open, you actually should really go check it out. It's in Quincy. I'm pretty sure it's North 36th Street. I'm pretty sure it's over.
Do not quote him though, please.
It's not North 36th. No.
It's downtown.
It's down towards the river.
Oh, it's 8th. Like it's 8th Street.
It's downtown. Man. That's all you got to know.
I forgot something else with 36th. Whatever. Anyway, thank you for listening to the Hawk Talk podcast at Quincy University. We are a part of the QU Media Podcast Network, and you can find us at qumedia.net. I'm your host, Jake Vitale, and I was joined by
Isaiah Fudge
and Ben Drager.
And it is a great day to be a Hawk.